Welcome to another edition of All About the House on Lake 88. I'm Brian Perkin. Today we're hosting a special fundraising edition of our program in support of the Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust. The Land Trust is a nonprofit charitable organization that works to preserve ecologically sensitive properties for the long term in eastern Ontario, in the Mississippi River watershed and lands northward to the Madawaska River. This one-hour radiothon is designed to build awareness of the Land Trust. We'll hear about the properties that are under their stewardship and the work they're doing to legally protect these pristine wilderness properties for all time. A little later in the program, we'll hear from Dr. Paul Keddy, an ecology professor with Carleton University in Ottawa, who will introduce us to the Land Trust's newest acquisition. Dr. Keddy will also tell us how the recent devastating windstorm in Ontario actually had some positive consequences for our forests. First, though, we'd like to welcome Bob Stearns to Lake 88. Bob lives in Elmont, and he's the secretary and chair of the Land Trust's Property Stewardship Committee. He's worked as an agricultural researcher, a high school biology and chemistry teacher, and now in partial retirement, Bob works as a consultant for the International School Services in Princeton, New Jersey. Bob, welcome to Lake 88.
Thanks, Brian. And listen, as we begin, I want to say on behalf of the Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust, MMLT as we call it, thank you. Thank you very much to you, to Lake 88, for all the support that you're giving to us. This is extremely vital to us. This is our third radiothon, I think, with you.
I think so, yes.
And and it's proven to be, the radiothon has proven to be one of our bigger fundraisers in the year. So thanks very much for doing this again with us this year.
Yeah, well, you're more than welcome, Bob. Bob, first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background, your role with the Land Trust.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I'm the secretary of the Land Trust, and so with the secretary job comes the usual functions, you know, of taking minutes and keeping track of signing some of the documents and that sort of thing. More interestingly to me, I'm also chair of the Property Stewardship Committee. And the Property Stewardship Committee is the group of people that are specifically focused on monitoring the status of our property. So our biologists, our ecologists, they conduct field work for the annual flora and fauna surveys. They use motion sensing wildlife cameras, people counters, and sound meters to get a better quantitative measure of the activity on our properties.
Okay. So let's talk about the properties. The Land Trust has amassed a number of properties, mm-hmm. and we've got a new one that you're going to be introducing today well, mm-hmm. which is great news. But let's talk about some of the different properties that are now under the stewardship of the Land Trust.
Sure. Well, we protect 10 properties in total, and that includes the newest one, which I'll just mention in a few minutes. We have 6 that we own. That includes High Lonesome Nature Reserve, which is in the Pakenham area, the Poole Family Nature Sanctuary in the Carleton Place area, Burn Big Creek Nature Preserve in Lanark, closer to the Watson's Corner area on the banks of the Mississippi, Whaleback Woodland Reserve, which is in the Carp Hills, and our newest one that we own is Marble Woodlands. And that's here in Lanark County, fairly close to the old Perth Road, and very generously, graciously donated by Janet and Noel Noyes Brown. And that one we will be opening later this fall. Paul Keddy is going to talk more about that one in detail in a few minutes.
Yeah.
We also have 4 properties that have what we call conservation easement agreements. And these properties we don't own, the owners still own them, but they want to protect them. They want to protect them for now. They want to protect them for future generations. And so they arrange with us as the Land Trust a set of restrictions and allowances that will protect that land legally for 999 years.
And so those are the type of agreements that some have, and the other ones are owned outright by the Land Trust.
The others are owned outright, and these are the conservation agreements that we have to protect them. So Blueberry Mountain, a lot of your listeners will have heard of Blueberry Mountain.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And so the owners, the Clifford family, still own that property, but we have that conservation easement agreement with them to protect the property long into the future, even, you know, for generations to come. Mm-hmm. Clyde Lands, which is down in the same area in the Lanark Highlands, the Keddy Nature Sanctuary and Salamander Forest, Keddie Nature Sanctuary, as you could put together, would be owned by Paul, Dr. Keddie, and his wife Kathy,
right.
And in fact, the Salamander Forest as well. They're adjacent to one another.
Okay. So when we talk about these easements, then, Bob, the property is then given or willed to a family member or whoever, you know, it gets passed to, but it's still under the umbrella of the land trust?
Yes, yes. And should the land be sold, as it probably will be some generations down the way, then those agreements, those covenants go with it. So the new owner assumes the same agreement.
Mm-hmm. So somebody could change hands out of somebody's family, but those particular agreements as to protecting nature, it would still reside with the property.
That's right.
Right?
Okay. Yes, and the agreement, and again, you're looking at, you know, 900 plus years mm-hmm. into the future. So the intention is that it will continue for many generations.
Yeah, be preserved for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's also talk, Bob, if we could, about funding for the land trust. It's not inexpensive to be able to look at all these different properties now that the land trust has amassed, and you know, what kind of funding do you go for? I know we're trying to raise funds today, donations, etc., but you need a lot of money to do what you're doing.
Well, the cost of taking on any one of these properties, whether it's a CEA or whether we own the property, initially it's $5,000 to $10,000 just upfront costs for the legal costs. You know, all the insurance costs, the transactional costs that come with all of that. And then we're looking at another $20,000 to $40,000 that we need to put into a long-term endowment fund that's going to then cover the costs of stewarding this land into the future. So we're looking at tens of thousands of dollars for every property we take on. So we have to be careful at the rate at which we take on properties, and we have to do a lot of fundraising. We're a charitable organization, so. All of the every dollar that we spend or that we place is going to be raised through our memberships, through donations, through fundraising initiatives like this radiothon, grant money, and various levels of municipal, provincial, and federal government grants as well. A few months ago, we were, just as an example, we were really fortunate to be named by Barbara Carroll and Glenda Jones to be the recipients of the thousands of dollars that they raised in the birdhouse auction. I don't know if recall that.
We ran it here on Lake
88. Yeah, yeah. So, and so it's that kind of generous funding and donations that we get and memberships that keep us going financially. The other side of the coin in all of this, of course, is the in-kind volunteer work that we get. And we have lots and lots of volunteers that will lend their special expertise, or sometimes it's just their physical labor to help us. For example, after the windstorm, cleaning up these properties and making some of our trails safe again for visitors. In fact, that's still ongoing. There's another group going out to one of our properties this weekend, armed with chainsaws and all the safety equipment. And so that's another area of donation, if you want, physical labor and expertise. People that lead our guided walks, for example, all of this is done volunteer. Our entire board is volunteer.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So when you get these properties, you kind of mentioned that some of them, in fact, are open to the public. You do put trails in some of them. There are some very sensitive ones that you want to protect and preserve, but that's another expense, opening these particular properties up to the public.
Yes, because, of course, we want to maintain those trails. We put interpretive signs on the trails. There's insurance as well that we have to pay, you know, and for those that are open to the public and get a lot of traffic, we need to look at parking areas and, gates and all of that. So High Lonesome is one of those sites where we have a big interpretive center, welcoming center, and we have a lot of, we've put a lot of money into the physical infrastructure for that one because it's just so popular.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's our mission today, to raise some funds for the
Great.
Mississippi-Madawaska Land Trust. Bob, we want to thank you. A very short time. We're going to make room for Dr. Paul Keddie coming in
mm-hmm.
to talk about the newest land, the Marble Woodlands. And if anybody does want to support the Land Trust, of course, don't forget they're going to have the The phones open at their offices at 253-2722. That's 253-2722. Right from now until 6 o'clock tonight, in fact. And if you want more information, you can go online directly to their website at mmlt.ca or click on the Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust link and our website, and that's at lanarkleadstoday.ca. Bob Stearns, thanks very much for kicking us off today, and we hope that we come through with some great funds to help you continue your work.
I'm sure you will, Brian, and thank you again once again from all of us at MMLT.
All right. Bob Stearns with us today, Secretary of the Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust. We'll continue with more on All About the House right after this break.